Slave trade. What is slave trade? Well, simply put, slave trade is the purchase and sales of human beings as properties for various reasons. Majorly for work, but you see, a part of that ownership bestows some right on the owner to do whatsoever he or she wills with the slave they have purchased, saying that they belong to them as properties. And the usage of these slaves doesn't begin and end with work. It also includes using them as sexual relief objects, using them for experimental purposes, using them for sexual sports, as the case may be. And the business of slave trading was very lucrative. Well, until some people came to their minds and decided to abolish it. However, you see, a lot of people had built massive fortunes in and around the venture of slave trading. And you know, of course, people like free stuff, yeah? No matter what it is, as long as it's free, as long as it's cheap, let me have it. So the closure of the slave trading industry gave birth to another industry, which has become the third most prominent illegal business in the world. And that is the business of human trafficking. Hi there. Welcome to my podcast, Let's Talk Sex with Airman. I'm your host, Airman. And on this episode, we will be talking about sex trafficking, but I had to give you the background. We will also be focusing on the traffickers in this episode. So join me right after this break and let's talk about this. Hey, have an idea you want to share? Get onto Anchor. Anchor gives you the platform to record your podcast with ease, edit it, and share it on its platform and many others for free. Go to the App Store or the Play Store and download Anchor today and let the world hear you. Anchor, give your ideas a voice and give your voice wings. Hi there, welcome back. Suffice to say that human trafficking and slavery have everything in common. And the only difference is that one was legal at the time and had all the legal backings of the law, and people legitimately owned people and used them as they wished. Well, the other is supposed to be illegal, but it has taken deep roots in our very existence that it has become the third largest crime in the world. And one might ask, how did we get here? Why did we get here? Are the governments of the world not seeing what is going on? Or perhaps because it doesn't affect them, so they don't see the need to put their foot down and address this problem the way it ought to be addressed. Human trafficking is a crime that is hidden in plain sight. But the rings, the connections they have run deep, such that people find it difficult. Government, I mean now, find it difficult to speak to it and address it and take actions against it. Could it be that they're complicit in this? They have a hand some way in this. In the sense that the labor is cheap and businesses patronize these human traffickers to get cheap labor. Is there something missing there? why the governments of the world, where human trafficking is really rampant, why they're not doing enough to save people, to draw attention to this heinous crime. Humans are trafficked for very many reasons, I should mention. But according to the UN report, the most common form of human trafficking is sexual exploitation, which is pegged at an alarming rate of 79%. 79% of those people who are trafficked into sexual exploitation. That is a huge industry, with women and girls being the most trafficked. Women and girls are the most endangered species when it comes to human trafficking. So you see, sex trafficking is a global issue that affects all people from all races, all cultures, all backgrounds, and all whatnot. And sex traffickers exploit individuals with force, coercion, and fraud, possibly, to make them perform commercial sex work. How terrible that you would pick up a girl child, and you promise the family that you're going to take care of them, that they're going to work legitimate works and jobs, and then be able to maybe send their younger ones to school or take care of their aged parents, and then you coerce them and force them into commercial sex work. And while the total number of people who are trafficked cannot be known because of variables like death in transit, death at destination, unreported cases of missing persons, and all that, the reason for trafficking can be found in some metrics like lack of economic opportunities for people who are at the bottom of the societal ladder. And you have things like corruption, where corruption thrives. The people are changed by the government, and so they have to look for alternatives to make ends meet. And when things like this, when promises like this of a better future, of a better life, is preached to them by these human traffickers, they jump at it. It's an easy catch. And you have things like conflict, war-torn areas. Those are hotbed for human trafficking victims. And you have things like climate change, and the most of all, the one that takes the cake away is consumerism. The fact that there is a market willing to pay for people to be trafficked sexually or otherwise, the fact that there is a market for that, not just an ordinary market, a very huge market. I was going to say Western consumerism, but in the real sense, the West is where the big market is for human trafficking. There's a very large market in the West that demands humans, sex workers generally. This is so because people are usually often trafficked with or without hopes for a better life abroad. Yeah, I mentioned this. People can actually be trafficked either for with reasons that you're going to be able to provide for your family, you're going to have a better future abroad and all that. Or sometimes it's just for the sheer profit of the perpetrators, the sex traffickers. The height of cheap labor abroad is beyond imagination. And that also speaks to the fact why most governments are doing little or nothing, next to nothing, about people being trafficked. Yeah, these human traffickers are quick at identifying people with quite obvious needs or vulnerabilities, and people who seem desperate. So they search out, they comb the whatever, city, streets, family gathering, extended family, and they find people who seem desperate to want to make ends meet, people who don't have stable incomes, and they sell their plans to them, their disguised plans, I should say, sell it to them. And it's an easy catch. That's an easy catch. Now, let me blow your mind for a bit. You see, the whole human trafficking venture, the whole business thereof, from acquisition of the merchandise, the people, to the transportation thereof, to the sales thereof, is valued at a whopping $150 billion. $150 billion industry where people are sold, where people are bought. You know, the funny thing is, 2/3 of that amount is generated from commercial sex exploitation. And that brings us to the figure of $99 billion. Of the $150 billion, $99 billion of that comes from sexual exploitation or sexually exploited victims. The average woman trafficked for forced sexual exploitation generates You see, that stands at about 100 to 1,000% return on investment. That's crazy. This is a high profit, low risk business with demand and supply overflowing simultaneously. Why is it a low risk business? The business of buying and selling people and making them do cheap labor or free labor. Why is it a low risk business? Is it because the gangs, the chains of participators thereof are, it runs deep into government circles or business circles and all that? Is that why? Could that be the case? Is that why these people are not talking so much about it? Is that why the government isn't acting so much about it? Is it, there are source countries, there are transit countries, and then there are ultimately destination countries. How is it that people move from place to place and they cannot be detected to be trafficked? Aren't there some sort of mechanism to put in place to check these things? Can't there be mechanisms to put in place? Or do we have to begin to scream about it when people have gotten to their destination countries and they're now fully into being exploited. Mind you, before these women arrive at their destinations, or before these people arrive at their destinations, they must have encountered one form of sexual violence or harassment from their handlers or fellow trafficked colleagues. So it really doesn't begin and end at their destination countries. It happens all along the way as they go. It's either they're sexually harassed, or they experience one form of sexual violence or the other from those who, from the handlers or from fellow trafficked people. How crazy. Who brings us to ask the question, this topic begs the question, who are the demanders? Who are the people that demands for cheap labor? Who are the people that demands for, who are the people that patronizes these sex exploited people? Who are the people? Why aren't they being brought to book? You see, India stands at the top of the list with about 14 million people being trafficked. 14 million people being trafficked annually. And that list is followed by China, and you have Pakistan, there is Bangladesh, and then there is also Thailand. And the list goes on and on and on. A whopping 14 million people being trafficked from one country annually. Another shocking thing is that the people who take the lead in this business are women. Women are in charge of these businesses where women are being exploited all the more. How ironical. You would think that people who share your experience, or people who are closest to you to feel your pain, are those who would really plunge you into that pain, into that world of pain. Women lead in the business of trafficking. That's, I don't know. It breaks my heart. It breaks my heart. And questions about the said opportunities they are offering. They just want you to take it hook, line, and sinker without questions and just keep marching. They offer full sponsorship and take responsibility for travel documents of the victims. But you see, the real question is not how to spot a human trafficker. The real question is, how do we stop human traffickers? How do we make the business less lucrative? How do we punish people who traffic people? How do we bring this to the barest minimum, or possibly to an end? And that is where the work of the governments begin. You should be able to make the lives of the people where this supply comes from. You should be able to make their lives okay to an extent that these promises don't get attractive to them. It doesn't get attractive to them enough to abandon their families, abandon their lives they've built in their community, and take on a journey they don't know the end. Governments should care about their people. Sensitize your people about these things. Sensitize your family members about opportunities that are too good to be true. A distant aunt or relative generally that comes with some sort of offer that you you can't seem to wrap your head around. Know these things, but the bulk of this work lies with the governments of the world to do better by their people. Keep your eyes and ears open around. You could just be there in the presence of a trafficker who's trying to traffic somebody. You should know what to do and how to help and save somebody. Save a soul before they get damaged by a trafficker. And next week, we will be focusing on the victims of human trafficking. Remember to like, share, and comment on this podcast. I thank you very much for listening. I'm your host, Airman, of Let's Talk Sex with Airman. Bye-bye now.